Despite the challenge of trying to decriminalise centuries-old smuggling routes and cross-border terrorism, the countries of the Sahel are showing progress in building credible, functioning justice systems. That's according to Pierre Lepak, who represents the vast African region that stretches from Senegal to Sudan for the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, or UNODC. He says that combating the challenges and threats posed by illegal trafficking, organised crime, flourishing terrorist groups and corruption is a matter of survival for communities across the semi-arid territory of the Sahel. That's especially true for the so-called G5 countries, Burkina Faso, Chad, Mali, Mauritania and Niger, who, Mr. Lepak says, are fully committed to the fight. He told me that the tragic deaths of four UN peacekeepers blown up by a roadside bomb in central Mali on Wednesday highlighted the ongoing security threat to everyone living in the Sahel.
Meaning this is definitely tragic, and we are working a lot with our friends and colleagues from MINUSMA, and we know the work they are doing on the ground. These people are highly committed, and the work they are doing on the ground is simply amazing. So, well, pay our respect to those people. And as far as UNODC is concerned, we'll continue our work with our MINUSMA friends and colleagues.
And one of the big challenges, of course, that the societies face in the Sahel region and the UN faces is this ongoing threat of terrorism. But it's a very complex picture, isn't it?
It is indeed a very complex picture. Things have dramatically changed over the last few years in terms of terrorism, the way the terrorist attacks are happening, the connections which are happening among the various terrorist groups, which are, because there is not one single player in the region, there are dozens of them. You know, it's very complicated and very fluid environment. So for us, meaning as far as UNODC is concerned, given our mandates, it is important to work with all the players and make sure that the various governments in the region, of course, starting by Mali, but not only Mali, because when you're discussing about terrorism, actually, it goes beyond even the G5 countries, because Cameroon is involved and Nigeria is involved. So making sure that we are working with all the countries and all the players and all the institutions in strengthening the legal framework, but also building up their institutions and making a difference on the ground. It's always easier to say than to actually do it. But we have a strong commitment coming from the countries in the region, and things have been evolving in the right direction.
What kind of work is UNODC doing as part of this pushback against terrorism? Because, you know, as you say, a lot of the conflict isn't to do with terrorism, it's to do with decades-old disputes between groups within countries and across borders.
Yes, well, basically, we are the guardians of the UN Convention on Terrorism. And this gives us a very clear mandate in supporting the countries of the region. So we work at various levels. The first level is, of course, meaning building up the legal frameworks, because there is nothing you can do as a justice system, as a law enforcement system, if you don't have the proper law at the national level. So that is one thing. And then after, we assist the countries in the region in strengthening the institution, building up, I would say, their counterterrorism strategies to see how the various players at the national and regional level are going to play together, because as soon as you deal with terrorism, meaning it's not only a country problem, it is a region and even larger than the region problem. And then after, we do a lot of capacity building, because that's the core work of UNODC. So we work with the police, we work with the prosecutors, we work with the law enforcement, we work with the justice to make sure that we can strengthen the capacities in addressing those very specialized and technical crime, meaning investigations in the field of terrorism is always very complex. Even more when you deal with terrorist financing, you know, it's even more complex, more technical. So we need to make sure that the countries in the region do have the right people knowledgeable. And then after, make sure that at the end of the day, sentences will happen and trials will happen, because that's the credibility of the states. That's what the people are asking. They want to see, I would say, terrorist arrests and sentenced for the crimes they have committed.
And what about the links between terrorists and other criminal networks in the fields of drug trafficking and, of course, people trafficking, human trafficking?
I mean, it goes beyond drugs. It goes beyond human trafficking. This is the main issue, and this is something which has been happening very clearly and the change over the last 5 years. Now, there are clear connections between organized crime networks and it goes beyond drugs. It's all kind of crimes. It's arms, it's drugs, it's human beings, it's smuggling of migrants, and terrorist activities, because actually you have terrorist groups who are in charge, I would say, of certain territories. It's in remote areas, the government, the military people are in there, the law enforcement is in there, and so on. So they are mastering some part of the territory, and of course, they get money out of that. They open routes for criminal networks for them to traffic what they want to traffic, and they get money out of that. So things have dramatically changed. These terrorist and criminal groups have what I call a business-oriented approach. They are looking for opportunity, criminal niches, where they can make money out of it. Because on the ground, the terrorist groups have to fight against the various army forces, including the Balkan people, and that meaning they are losing a lot of people. A lot of people are killed. They are losing a lot of equipment, so they have to purchase arms, ammunition, all the logistics, the gasoline, the food for their fighters, and that costs a lot of money. So you need to find alternative sources of funding, and that's where actually criminal networks are coming in.
So the illegal economy is booming in a sense, unfortunately. But
unfortunately, yes. Meaning connections is happening. You know, in the northern part, in Gao, for example, I'm always
in Mali.
In Mali, yes. There is a neighborhood which is called Quartier Cocaine, cocaine neighborhood. It explains everything.
And how much are the problems of the Sahel just due to the unfortunate geography, the fact that you have thousands of kilometers of open desert borders that people can move across quite freely?
Borders do not have any meaning over there. You can be somewhere without knowing even in which country you are. And we have also to bear in mind that the smuggling routes which are existing in the region, in the Sahel, are the very same smuggling routes which were existing in the 8th or 7th century.
Centuries old.
Yeah, it's millenniums old. They were the smuggling routes of salt and slaves. No, of course, things have changed. But, you know, there is a new kind of slavery. It's called human trafficking. And at the end of the day, that hasn't changed much. And a lot of people are making a lot of money out of that. And I think it is very important for not only the international community, but first for the countries of the region. And that's, they are fully committed. And the G5 Sahel countries are fully committed in addressing those threats, because it's a matter of survival for them.
What are the hopeful signs in terms of how countries and the international bodies in the region are pushing back against terrorism?
Yeah, yeah. I've been in the region for more than 5 years. So I have seen the evolution. And what I've seen is that we have more and more cases, criminal cases, against terrorism, armed trafficking, against even terrorist financing or money laundering, you know, a specialized case, very high profile case, where you see that the police or the gendarmerie, the law enforcement are doing their job and they are arresting people. You see that the prosecutors are working. We have assisted the countries in the region in building up what we call judicial pôle judiciaire in French, and where you put together prosecutors, investigative judges, police and gendarmes working together on highly specialized and high-profile cases. And we see that more people have been arrested, because at the end of the day, the main issue is the countries in the region need to have a credible functioning justice system. That is the issue, that what the people are asking and what the people are demanding. They want less corruption. They want criminals to be arrested. They want terrorists to be arrested. They want smuggling of migrants or arms, etc., to be arrested. Because bear in mind that those communities know exactly who is who. They know that the cousin of X is involved in this kind of trafficking, because these are small communities where everyone knows each other. So at the end of the day, when they see that there is corruption, there is no integrity, and the criminals are not prosecuted, the system doesn't mean anything for them. And they, meaning it's counterproductive. And actually, we need to make it more productive and recredibilize the justice system in those countries.
And presumably, where there is widespread conflict, of course, there is. It's very hard to build civic society and build civic institutions.
Well, yes, it is very hard. But at the end of the day, I am quite confident, because, of course, I'm interacting with those people in the region on a daily basis. And I see that for them, they are exhausted by all these criminal activities, these terrorists. They don't look for that. They really want to work and live in a peaceful environment, which is unfortunately not the case. So actually they are pushing their governments in, I would say, in the right direction.
It's real grassroots pressure.
It is definitely grassroots. It's a bottom-up approach. It's why I'm very optimistic, because these challenges are touching the population, the people. They are the ones suffering by working with the governments and the institution. We are serving the people, and we see things improving. Even in the other hand, we see more and more challenges in the region. And that's why we invest a lot, and we are working a lot with our G5 Sahel friends and the countries part of the G5 Sahel region, because these are their problems, and we are here to support them. But at the end of the day, they are the ones who have to address those issues.